This is Jim Field.
And Don Hoover.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Welcome to, we're getting toward the end of January. The days disappearing here rapidly already in 2012.
Yes, they are.
Well, and we've had a really mild winter so far.
Except for this weekend.
Yeah, I picked a heck of a time to say that, didn't I? We'll get through it just fine. A little cold isn't going to hurt us, I suppose, as long as it's not long term.
No.
Well, you're probably wondering, wait a second. Boy, boy. What happened? It's always been boy, girl, it seems like, on this program. Well, you know, we've had several guest hosts over the last few weeks as Stacy is finishing up her maternity leave. And, well, lo and behold, the other day, Don walked into the office and said, hey, I've noticed that you've, well, I'll let you tell the story. Because you walked in and you mentioned just that it seems like it's been all women who've been with me.
Yes, I did. I walked in and I said, hey, Jim, do you ever have a man with you on the Nishna Valley program? And you said, not for a while. And I said, well, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to volunteer for that position.
It's not that nothing wrong with that at all. I guess we just didn't. Nobody hadn't had a guy come forward and say, hey, I'd like to be on the show, too. So, yeah, what the hey? We'll take anything we can get. We're having fun. That's all that's all we're meaning to do anyway when we started this. Stacy, of course, back in December, had a baby boy, and so she had a little bit of time off coming with her maternity time. So during the course of that, we just kind of put out the word for folks to see if they wanted to guest host with me. And, well, gosh, my wife has done it. We've had one, two, three, I think five or six people mm-hmm. that have done it, all women, and now Don as well. You're no stranger to the microphone, though.
No, I'm not. I started out here at the station in December of 77 with a radio broadcast from the Emmanuel Baptist Church, which is now the Evangelical Free Church.
And so you were doing kind of regular weekly programs.
Yes, I was. On Sunday morning at 8:15, I came out here and did live program for 15 minutes.
Live on a Sunday morning?
Yes.
How'd you find time to fit that in when you're a pastor?
It was difficult. Mm-hmm. But I would plan my program, type it all out so that I had it all out to the 15-minute program that I should have, and then came out with my program and presented it live over the broadcast.
How long did you work as a pastor?
I was at Emmanuel Baptist for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So in the 5 years that I was there, I was out here on Sunday morning.
Was that full-time?
Yes, it was.
What's life like? I mean, people sometimes see their pastors as being people who really kick it in on game day, on Sunday. But it's a full-time job. I mean, there's lots to do.
Oh, yes. There are times that you have to spend studying the Word of God in order to present your messages on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. But then I had the radio broadcast at 8:15, Sunday school class at 9:30. My morning service at 10:30, my evening service at 6:30, and then a Wednesday service again on Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to prepare for all of those. You have to allow time for that. And then there's also time for visitation, going to see the older folks of the church, the sick folk in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, all of this type of thing. So it really involves more than just 40 hours a week. I was putting in 60, sometimes more, hours a week.
And the pay is great.
Yes, it is. It's out of this world.
It's out of this world. Well, you know, but it's more than just the money, too. There are other things that keep you going.
Oh, yes. I enjoyed being a pastor. Mm-hmm. And since being a pastor, since I left there in 82, I've worked out at the plant, which is now Dana. When I first went out there, it was Clevite, and was out there for 21 years. But while I was there, I was also filling in for pastors that were on vacation or churches that were without pastors. So I was kept busy doing all that type of thing.
Do people try to get away with things with a substitute pastor like the kids do with a substitute teacher?
Not necessarily.
Not so much. Maybe the Sunday school kids. You never know. Well, very good. What got you interested in that?
In the pastorate?
Yeah. Is that something you always thought about?
Yes, it was. When I was in high school, I thought about it. And then I was 2 years out of high school. And then in the fall of 60, I went to Grace Bible Institute in Omaha and spent 4 years there, got my BA in theology, and then went into the pastorate.
It seems like it's getting tougher in all denominations to try to find young people really, truly interested in doing it for the right reasons, not as a career, but as a vocation.
Yes, uh-huh. I was willing to take on small churches at first. Was out in Shelton, Nebraska, up in St. Lawrence, South Dakota, and then down in the Sandhills in Nebraska. My address was Ellsworth. You'll find that's just a little bitty town. Our mail came on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
I thought you were going to say it came on horseback.
No. It came by car, but the mail route was so long that they went south on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and north on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
And that's when the weather's good.
Yes, uh-huh.
you don't want to see in the dead of winter.
Yeah. And then after that, we were 5 years up in Alberta, Canada, mm-hmm. With a Japan Evangelical Mission. I worked in the home office there.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yes.
A lot of neat people you get to meet.
Yes. I traveled perhaps 40,000 miles by plane and another 40, 50,000 by car, going to different Bible institutes, different churches, recruiting people for the Japan Evangelical Mission.
Is that the best part of doing that, is all the different people you get a chance to, well, not just run across, but also just meet and get to know a little better?
Oh, yes. I really enjoyed it. I guess maybe I'm a people person. I enjoy meeting people and to have the time to just talk with them, mm-hmm. find out what they're doing.
That's kind of one of the good things about doing this for a living, too, for me. It's the positive and the negative part of it. The positive part of it is I do get to meet a lot of people.
Yes.
The downside is I don't really get to know a lot of people necessarily. You know, I'll have people all the time that will come up to me and talk to me by, you know, call me by name and talk to me like I'm their best friend, like they've known me forever, and I have no idea who they are. They assume because they know me that I probably know them too.
Yeah.
And we've never really been introduced, and which is a shame because, you know, you hate to go through life, you know, kind of not with this narrow focus and you're not getting off the beaten path. You got to get off the interstate once in a while, you know. You got to have a chance to just sit and slow down and maybe have a good visit with folks once in a while and get to know some of those people because you're going to meet a lot of people in this life. Some of them interesting, some of them maybe not so much, but you'll never know the difference until you get a chance to sit down and visit with them.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I would go by and I say, "Hi, Jim," and you look at me and wonder who you are. And
well, I hope it's not quite like that. Although I do, I have my standard answer: "Hey, how you doing?" You know.
Yeah.
Because it's just so hard to recall so many names from so many communities and things all the time.
Yes.
But don't be offended by that. I may recognize the face, I just may not recognize or remember the name all the time. But I think we all go through that. Sometimes more when we get a little older.
Yeah, I have to say I recognize your face, but I don't recall your name.
You have me at a disadvantage here. You know me, I don't know you. It's funny when you have old friends, like from college and whatever, and you run into them somewhere after all these years. And you know how it is. When we're in a surrounding, we expect to see certain people in that mm-hmm. surrounding. If someone outside of that zone comes into it, even if it's someone we knew from our past, we may not recognize them because we just weren't expecting them. And I've run into old friends at different times mm-hmm. where they've come up and said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, great. Do I know you?" "Well, we were best friends in high school." "Oh, and what was your name?" You know, that's such a past part of life and things, and you just don't expect that. So sometimes even the most innocent little things can turn awkward mm-hmm. real fast that mm-hmm. way. It happens. How's your family?
Our family is fine.
Good.
I've got two sons and two daughters. Mm-hmm. My youngest son is here in Atlantic, Wes, and he works for Henningsen's. He's one of the truck drivers that moves all of the heavy equipment around. And then I have another son over in Papillion. It works for a crane company. He's the sales manager for it in Iowa, and he works out of Papillion, but he's mostly in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And then I have a daughter that is a rancher farmer wife in Texas, the Upper Panhandle of Texas. They've been through drought for the last year and a half. And then I have another daughter up at Newell, and she and her family are very active in their church up there.
Sounds like they're all hard workers.
Yes, they are. My wife also is, though she has rheumatoid arthritis, she's the organist at our church in Elkhorn.
She's
First
the glue.
Baptist Church.
She's the glue that keeps it all together.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Everybody healthy, everybody happy.
My wife has had rheumatoid arthritis mm-hmm. for the last 35, 36 years. I've had cancer for the last 7 years, but the Lord's been good to us.
Very good. Good. Well, I'm glad to have you in here this week. Appreciate you coming out and offering to spend a little time with us here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Well, we do have a few things going on. We could talk about ourselves, I guess, all day, but I don't know.
I suppose.
But at some point, we probably better tell folks about some things happening here in the area, and we do have a few things going on here very soon. In fact, this weekend yet, an opportunity for you to enjoy some Dad's Belgian Waffles. The St. Patrick's Catholic Women in Audubon will be having an all-you-can-eat this Sunday morning, January 22nd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that'll be at the St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. $7 for adults, $4 for youth 6 to 10, and 5 and under can eat free. They do have tickets at the door, and there'll be takeouts available there as well. That's Dad's Belgian Waffles at the St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon, and that's coming up again this Sunday morning. Also, a few other things happening here in the coming days. Some other events going on today. You like chili?
Oh, yes.
You like pie?
Yes.
That's easy. I mean, who doesn't like those things? Well, you have the best of all worlds at the Marnie Community Club today because they're sponsoring, today, Sunday, January 22nd, they are sponsoring a chili and pie contest. Now, this is it's a men's pie contest, so sorry, ladies. I think the ladies have an unfair advantage anyway because they know what they're doing.
Okay.
More so than us. Well, they'll be judging for both contests is People's Choice. So if you want to enter the contest, then this Sunday, you do need to bring a gallon crock pot of your best chili to the Marnie Community Center by 5 o'clock. Now, the same goes for entering the men's pie contest. You need to bring your entry by 5. No fees to enter. It's all free. Trophies for chili and pie winners are displayed at the Marnie Community Center, and the winners this year will have their names added to the trophies. Now, everyone can come and join. They can participate as either a judge or a contestant. You just bring a potluck salad to share. They'll have pie for dessert, and beverages will be provided there as well. That's at the Marnie Community Center. Now, also today, I keep saying today, also this weekend, on Sunday, January 22nd, the Exira Lions Club will be having their spaghetti supper, or their spaghetti dinner, rather. It's a noontime event from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Exira Lions Building. They'll be serving spaghetti with meatballs, salad, garlic bread, and bars, all for a free will donation, and the proceeds from that event will go toward new band uniforms. Now, also something for the kids, maybe the family as a whole, there's a make-your-own pizza and dessert event that's going on Sunday, January 22nd. Elementary students and their parents are invited to participate in this activity at the Cass County Memorial Hospital cafeteria. That'll be from 3 to 5 this Sunday afternoon. Cost is $5 per family. Okay, so if you've signed up, they'd love to have you there. And maybe if you haven't signed up and you wander in, I bet they won't turn you away either if they have enough to go around. Also coming up yet this week, on Tuesday, January 24th, the Cass County Memorial Hospital Auxiliary will hold their annual meeting at noon at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. And then also there's some private pesticide applicator training going on as well on Tuesday. That starts at 9:30 in the morning at the Thurkildsen Activity Center in Harlan. Wednesday is a big blood day in the region. Wednesday, January 25th, I have three different ones here to send you to. In Villisca from noon to 6, that'll be at the Community Center in Villisca. Also over in Logan from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Logan Magnolia High School. And then there's another one in Westphalia at the St. Boniface Parish Center from noon until 6. All of those going on this coming Wednesday. So a great opportunity there for folks to get and help out others. Also coming up on Thursday, January 26th, the Cass County Genealogical Society will have their monthly meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's at the library. Also, the Adair County Extension is hosting a grain handling workshop at the 4-H FFA Center in Greenfield on Thursday the 26th. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. for registration and displays, and the program starts at 10. Lunch will be provided. They do need you to register, though, by the 24th. That's this Tuesday, by calling the Adair County Extension office at 641-743-8412. There is no charge for that event, and they'll have a private pesticide applicator training session following at 1:30. You need to be there by 1 o'clock. There is a $20 fee for that event. Also coming up on Saturday, January 28th, the Atlantic Coca-Cola Center and Museum will be open from 1 to 4. That is your last chance, by the way, for a few months if you want to get in there. Remember the old Atlantic Locker location down there in the lower part of Chestnut Street before they moved over a little further to the west, but they have they had that all decorated up nice. They refurbished that. They had that nice red and white awning out there. Right. It looked Coca-Cola even when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks good as a museum right now. So if you want to stop and enjoy any of that, again, January 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. It'll be closed in February and March, as they're going to do some things yet there. But if you'd like to get in there and take a look around, a group would like a tour, the Chamber of Commerce can help you out with that. And then they're hoping to have a grand reopening again in the spring, perhaps in April. They're hoping to kind of get things all ready to go. They're still kind of moving some stuff around a little bit and getting
Sounds
situated.
Good.
Yeah, it is. It's neat to have that, especially right there on Main Street where folks can enjoy and find it real easy.
Right.
One more thing, too. Saturday the 28th, we also have the Audubon County Saddle Club's annual Soup Supper and Auction going on. That'll be from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Memorial Building in Audubon. They'll be serving chicken noodle, oyster stew, and chili soups, along with sandwiches, salads, ice cream, and drinks for a free will donation. They'll also hold the crowning of the queens, the auctioning of the 4-H trophies. They'll have a bake sale table. They'll be auctioning numerous items. And the singing cowgirls will perform at 6:30. How do you miss that?
No, you don't.
Proceeds will go to the Saddle Club scholarship program, and improvements to the fairgrounds as well will be a part of what they're doing there. So those are some of the events and activities coming up here down the road around the area. You guys do anything exciting for Valentine's Day? Or am I giving you a chance to really spill the beans here?
Valentine's Day, I have to go see my cancer doctor.
Ah, okay.
And so it's over in Omaha, and then I take my wife out for a Valentine's dinner afterwards.
Perfect. It's nice to spend a little time like that together.
Yes, it is.
It's important, but it's nice, too. Very good. Well, we need to take a short break, and you know what? I'm not going to take a break yet. I just remembered I got a couple other things here in front of me. Also coming up on Saturday, January 28th, the Elliott Fireman's 58th Annual Deer and Roast Pork Feed will be held. That starts at 5:30 p.m. at the Elliott Community Building. They'll be serving also mashed potatoes and gravy, beans, salad, and bread. They'll be raffling also 10 $10 gift certificates donated by Fairway Meat Department of Red Oak. So, again, that's on the Saturday, January 28th. And that's the Elliott Fireman's 58th Annual Deer and Roast Pork Feed. Elliott Community Building, 5:30 the time. All right, now I got that in. I think we're in pretty good shape. So that'll help us out there. Now let's go ahead and take that break. We'll be back with more for you in just a moment.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
And we need to, I suppose maybe do a little anniversary and birthday work here, shall we? You've got an anniversary over there. You want to share it with us?
Yes, this is a 60th anniversary. Hank and Millie Holiday are going to be celebrating their anniversary on the 27th with a dinner over at the Redwood this weekend. They were married in the Church of Christ in Griswold in 1953, and then moved to a farm south of Anita, and are farming out there. 60th anniversary.
Well, good for them. I hope they have a very good day, and hope they hear from a lot of their friends as well.
Yes.
It's no fun to have those days come along if you don't have a chance to share it with folks. That's why we do this here. I have a few birthdays here I'd like to throw in as well. From the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn, coming up on the 28th, this next weekend, Helen McFadden will be celebrating a birthday up at the Salem Lutheran Home. So we hope you have a good day and a lot of cake and friends to share it with, too. So happy birthday coming up here to Helen. Also, I have a note here, an 80th birthday wish going out. Leroy Schwenke will be celebrating his 80th birthday this weekend, Sunday, January 22nd. Now, his friends are asking for a card shower. So if you would like to send greetings to Leroy Schwenke, you can send them to him. They'll reach him if you send it to the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab at 1300 East 19th Street, room 308. In Atlantic, 50022. So, again, happy 80th birthday this weekend, Sunday, January 22nd, to Leroy Schwenke. Congratulations to those folks. Hope they have great days. Very good days, as a matter of fact.
I know Leroy. He's from over at Messina.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work with him out at the plant.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
It's hard to get away. It seems like no matter where you go, I mean, even if we take off and go on a trip somewhere, it seems like we always run into someone who, if they don't know Atlantic or we didn't know them from something, they're familiar with the area. And I mean, it's just, you know, you just can't get away from people. No matter how hard you might try, you can't get away from folks. Another item I wanted to throw in here, too, the Iowa Aviation Museum, which is in Greenfield at the airport there. They're having their 15th annual chili fly-in. And this will be coming up on Saturday, January 28th. They'll have hot chili served from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's $5 for adults, children under 12, $3, and that price includes a tour of the museum as well. The board of directors is sponsoring that fly-in. You've heard of fly-in breakfast.
Sure. Flight July breakfast. 4th.
Yeah. Well, they're having a fly-in chili supper, chili feed. Hey. Whatever gets you there, right?
That's for sure.
Hey, here's another note, too. The folks over at Adair Casey High School are sponsoring, they're going to try something a little different this year. They're having the Bomber Boosters Rebounders Reunion. It's an Adair Casey alumni basketball event. They've got it scheduled for February the 4th at the high school gymnasium at 6 p.m. They're asking all former girls and boys basketball players to come on out and lace them up again. If they did send out a lot of notes and things, too. There's a $20 registration fee if you're interested in playing, and that fee includes a T-shirt and your gate admission. But they're really looking for their state qualifying teams from Adair Casey, from the 1992 girls, and also the 1979, 89, 92, and 2009 boys teams, because they'll all be recognized between the men's and women's games that they'll have that night. It's a fundraising event. All the proceeds will be used to purchase new bleachers for the high school gymnasium. And you can also make a donation if you'd like. If you can't make it there that night, Julie Plowman in Adair is collecting all of those. The gate admission fees, $5 for adults, students, kindergarten through 12th grade are $3, and preschoolers are free for those who would like to turn out on February the 4th. For that event, and they're hoping to have a real good crowd for that, too. It's kind of neat when you get those small towns that get those reunions going.
Oh, yes.
You know, Wyota forever has had, even though the school hasn't existed for quite a while now, they still get together every year for a reunion. It's kind of neat to see those things happen.
Yes, it is.
Did you go to school in a small school?
I graduated from a class of 254.
Okay.
From North Platte, Nebraska.
Not quite so small.
No. No, it's... was a class that was the largest up to that time,
mm-hmm.
and was the largest for some years afterwards, too. So,
I was in a class of 420, and we were one of the smallest classes in our school at that time. In fact, the incoming freshman class behind us had over 700 students.
Wow.
So it was a little different. Now, that school, I went to Wallert High School in Dubuque. It's not near that big anymore.
Uh-huh.
We had, I think, around 1,900 students thereabouts, give or take. When I was in school there in the four grades, just high school, so the four grades. Now I believe it's somewhere around 1,100 thereabouts. And I think you know all the reasons why. There just aren't as many kids out there anymore. And, you know, the demographics have changed so much.
These days. Yes.
you know, schools all around are seeing decreased enrollments and things, mm-hmm. unless you live in Waukee, where it's going gangbusters. Yes. But, yeah, it's a little bit different. Have you gone back to any reunions at all?
Yes, I've been back to a couple of them. We're coming up to our 55th in 2013.
You didn't need to say that. I wasn't going to force you to say that. We have, you know, do you keep in touch with some of your friends from high school?
Some of them. We have several different friends that we're keeping in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised at the last reunion that we went to that several were pastors that I never thought would ever be a pastor of a church.
My mom has told me about some guys that I went to school with who are now Catholic priests who I never would have seen that coming.
Yes, yes.
Never would have guessed that. But it's funny how that works. I mean, some people, you know, for whatever reason, at some point they get the call.
Yes.
It happens, and all of a sudden their life just changes dramatically. You just never know.
That's for sure.
No, I don't really do reunions. I suppose it's a little bit different for, you know, having a... You know, I kind of envy people that go to smaller schools like Atlantic or some mm-hmm. of these others where the kids go to school together basically their entire lives. And uh-huh. they're never away from each other. You know, where I went to school, there were, well, I think that when I was in school, there were like 14 Catholic grade schools in Dubuque. And I went to a Catholic school and then went to a Catholic high school.
Uh-huh.
So, and then, of course, there was the public school system, too. And sometimes you would have kids that went through public grade school who would then go to the Catholic high school. But the school, we had kids in from three different states, from Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois. It was more of a regional kind of a high school
because
you don't have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, a lot of kids that I went to grade school with, all of a sudden I get to high school and there's just a handful of them there.
Yes.
You know, and there's so many people there. It's really hard. I mean, there are plenty of kids in my graduating class that I never met. I never even recognize the name. You know, I don't know. It almost seems kind of bizarre, but I never kept up with anybody. Even my close friends from high school, you know, everybody moves on. We went to college, then everybody spreads out and goes elsewhere for mm-hmm. their professional lives and things. And, you know, everybody develops new relationships. You get married, you have children, they have new professional relationships within whatever they're doing at the time. You know, those kind of things just kind of disappear. I never really kept in touch with them much. When I do get back to Dubuque, and unfortunately it's not as often as I'd like, it's family time. I want to spend it with
yes.
my family. My father, my last grandmother that was with us here on this earth is no longer. She lost her in September. So now we're down to that generation. Both of my folks are still here, and I do enjoy going up and spending time with them and my brothers and their families as well. So, you know, sometimes friends can kind of get in the way of that quality time you're trying to budget with family and stuff. So.
Right.
But, you know, I guess if they want to find me, they know where.
Yes. Well, I've got two brothers out in North Platte and a sister within 20 miles. So we get together like this last time on the 26th of December and had a Hoover reunion with a lot of the nephews and nieces that were in the area, are still in the area.
It is kind of nice, though, to have some family members back in the old hometown, too.
Uh-huh.
That way you can kind of keep up with what's going mm-hmm. on. You know, if I didn't have my folks and some of my family members in Dubuque and didn't really have a reason to go there, I'd probably lose complete touch with a lot of those things that are going on. So I still have some of my old friends that are actually friends with my younger brothers.
Ah.
So I kind of hear about some things that way, too, what's going on here and there with some of those folks. So, yeah, I might not go back and, you know, bend an elbow with them someplace for an evening, but I still hear about things that are going on and mm-hmm. stuff, too. So it's, you know, you kind of keep in touch with some of those things.
Certainly.
It's really difficult. I mean, it's not like the old days where, you know, moving out of mom and dad's house meant you moved into another house on the same home place, you know?
No, no.
It's not like that anymore. People spread out a long, long way. So it's really envious when people can really kind of keep those family units in good cohesion and mm-hmm. really have good relationships like that, because it's difficult. You just don't get to see people the way you'd like to. And then someday we'll be gone.
Oh, yes.
And we don't want those regrets. Well, speaking of gone, our time is pretty well gone here this weekend, too. We, as always, appreciate you spending a little bit of your time with us here on the radio. And, Don, I appreciate you coming and sitting in with me for
half
an hour.
Thank you
very much. This is Jim Field.
And Don Hoover.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.